Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Once again, we would like to welcome you to another Theologically Speaking with Jose and Danielle Dorsey. Usually from the inception of the show, you will usually hear Danielle and I announcing the title of the show together. But unfortunately, due to other things that we got going on right now in the works, Danielle would not be able to join us tonight. I am so going to miss her. But nevertheless, we still have to proceed forward with the mission. Oh, well, thank you, dear. I didn't think you were going to be able to make it. I'm so glad to hear you. But we're going to continue forward talking about forgiveness. So we're going to be talking about forgiveness and forgiving, basically part two. And so, you know, we like to start every show letting you know how much we really appreciate you for making this show be exactly what it is, how you loan us your time and your attention in order to make this show successful. And for that, we would just like to tell you thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You could have been spending your time doing anything else, but you chose to spend it with us during this time. Also, we would like to thank our executive producer, Brother James Brown, for all that he do to help us to make this worldwide platform be successful. So without further ado, let us go before the throne of grace. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, this time that you've given us to present your word, to stand on your principles, to prayerfully present information that is edifying to the people, but also glorifying to you. We ask that you keep us, that you guide us, you mold us, you help us in our understanding of forgiveness, so that we might grow to the point where you will be forgiving to us. Continue to dispatch grace and mercy to be our strongholds and our leaning posts, so that even in human error, God, we trust and believe you to just lift us up, clean us off, and present us faultless before your presence. Lord, we ask that you just continue to keep us, guide us. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. We gladly say amen. Forgiveness. Back on the forgiveness thing. The reason why we deal with forgiveness so much, because forgiveness is a very, very, very hard thing for us to do in a natural sense. And one of the things my wife and I was talking about on the last show is how the process of forgiveness really is. And truthfully, that's something that she still struggles with. And, you know, it's not a point of judgment or singling anything out. Our goal is to be people and to be transparent so that we can actually come close to certain issues and really talk about them with different things that have happened to us in our recent lives. You know, it's been that she's going through the process and haven't reached the end portion of that process. And truthfully, I want to say it's okay, and in a way, it's not okay. It's not okay in that we go through that process for too long, because God requires that we go through that process. Forgiveness, to be able to forgive, means that you went through the process from injury all the way to the culmination point of actually being able to forgive. That means that issue is behind us. And many times we have an issue with letting those things go because we feel like there'll be no recompense. We'll feel like sometimes that there's going to be no time where this person actually received their just due for what they did to us. And so that was the reason why we ended last show with talking about trusting in God. I'm reading from this book. It's called Psychology, Theology, and Spirituality in Christian Counseling. It's by Mark R. McMahon. He's a PhD. just want to read this one paragraph. It's very short. It said, Jared Pingleton suggests that therapists recognize and attempt to cultivate in clients an understanding of three essential elements of the forgiveness process. A, forgiveness can be received from God if given to others. Back on the scripture, we was talking about Matthew 6. I think it's around the 14th verse. Basically, if you want God to forgive you, then you ultimately need to be able to forgive. And so as we understand that forgiveness is a Christian duty because it's in his word, then I believe if we are spiritual people, then we ought to be enabled and empowered to go forward, to just let the injury go, simply because we trust God enough that if we want to be forgiven, we too must also forgive. So forgiveness as a Christian duty has a lot to do with your level of faith in God. B, it says forgiveness can only be given to others if received from self. In our life coaching, one of the things that we talked about is the reason why we find it hard to forgive ourselves sometimes is because of what we allow other people to do to us. Sometimes you know better than to trust a certain person, but you trust them anyway. And so because you receive the injury or the pain that comes along from you trusting somebody, then you turn around and you subject yourself to the anger and the anguish because you allowed yourself to trust. Well, the reality is, while nobody is perfect, because we are vulnerable, we cannot go and punish ourselves for being vulnerable. Okay, you chose to love, and because of that love, it had a level of vulnerability attached to it. We cannot walk around penalizing ourselves for being somebody that was trusting or loving or caring enough to let someone get close enough to injure us. Now, when it happens over and over and over again, do we reexamine the model? Yes, I would recommend that we go and examine how we trust people, how we let people into our circle. But ultimately, I wouldn't allow people that I coach to continually find themselves in a situation where they refuse to forgive themselves. So forgiveness of yourself is very important to be able to forgive. So when we're looking at forgiveness, you want forgive if you want to be forgiven. I noticed the scripture didn't say strictly to forgive others. You're going to catch this in a minute. Sometimes that forgiveness piece have a lot to do with you forgiving yourself as well. And that's the reason why this author says forgiveness can only be given to others if received from self. In order for you to have the Christian duty to be able to forgive others, you must be able to understand that you are a person that God so loves. You are a person that God so cared enough about that he took the time to make you in his own image. Last time or so many times I talk about being able to treat people different if we receive them or recognize them as the very image of God. But sometimes we lose a sense of self-worth and self-value because we find it difficult to look at our own selves. Come on. Look at our own selves and see ourselves as the image of God. So when you look at that context and know that you need to forgive others, I encourage you today to also look at yourself and know that in order for you to be a forgiving person, that you must be a person that's able to forgive yourself. I know you fell down. I know you stumbled. I know you didn't speak the words that you should have spoke as a Christian. I know you didn't always think pure thoughts. I know that you still have your issues that you need to overcome, your storms that you face, your giants that you fight, your hills that you climb. You still go through things, but you're not perfect. And so because you're not perfect, understand that you need forgiveness. And so you need to be able to forgive yourself. If you have in your heart to truly move on, to turn away from, to repent means to completely turn away from. So if you turn away from the things that caused your anguish in the first place, you have to be spiritual. Don't walk around being fake and holier than thou and acting like something that you're not when you can't even forgive yourself. I'm just going to be real with you. Because you really just fooling yourself, because if you're just spitting out the words that you forgive other people, but you really haven't forgiven yourself, you have not attained the true essence or self I'm sorry, the sense of what a forgiveness truly is, because how can you give something to someone else that you won't even allow yourself to receive? Very powerful principle. I'm going to move on to C. It says also, forgiveness can only be given to self if received from God. So we look at different aspects of forgiveness. As far as when we give it away, we want other people to truly be sorry. I want to first tell you, it doesn't matter if they're truly sorry. Going back to last time, the last message, forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. So even though forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself, you must recognize and understand that a person may never, ever be sorry. So should you continually walk around in the bondage of having a lack of forgiveness because somebody else doesn't have the spirituality or the emotional fortitude to even ask for your forgiveness or even be sorrowful for what they've done to you? Don't that sound crazy? Somebody else committed the crime, but you walk around in bondage. You walk around in the shackles or you walk around confined in a prison of unforgiveness for what somebody else did. Now, let me just speak real plain, because there's somebody walking around right now who's been a victim of rape that don't know how to forgive. Every man looks like that man. Or there's somebody walking around right now who's been injured from a previous relationship. Now, I feel like I've been injured from a previous marriage. I feel like I've been injured from people that walked out on me, lied on me, stepped on me, people that scandalized my name and monsterized me. But although those injuries were committed against me, I would not be walking around in the, I want to say, the context that God expects for me if I couldn't forgive. See, I want God to forgive me, but I have this heart of anguish towards someone else, this lack of forgiveness towards someone else. I told this story last time. I'll reiterate it. The snapshot of what God's forgiveness looked like is this. Imagine Judas sitting at Jesus' table. Imagine them breaking bread with one another, sharing glasses of juice or wine. Imagine them sitting in close proximity. And imagine him calling him brother and teacher and master, and him loving on each other and having a 3-year bond and relationship that's closer than any other that we recognize throughout spiritual context, because they were his disciples. Imagine him knowing this before he would ever meet Judas now, and still loving him in spite of, still receiving him in spite of, still being able to forgive him in spite of everything that he's done, knowing that this would be the very man that would turn him over to be crucified. Understanding that Jesus is God. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. He knows all, sees all. So he knew all of these things would happen. Knowing that he would go up on a rugged cross, be tortured. You flip over into the book of Isaiah. The Bible teaches that he was beat beyond recognition. He was essentially tortured. This is the worst torture that a person could receive in the minds of the Roman government. Knowing that this person would subject him to all of that, he still received him and loved him and forgave him. Man, that really like paints a very vivid picture of what forgiveness should really be like. It's kind of convicting, because when you really think about what God is asking for us, from us, it almost appears to be impossible. But I believe one of the things that God is asking for us is for us to be able to free ourselves. You free ourselves, and then we also put ourselves in position to trust him. We put ourselves in a position also to exercise faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Trusting in God and having faith in God are synonymous, essentially. It also put us in a place where because we trust God and we have faith in God, faith without works is dead. So now we put our faith to work, and essentially we become closer to God because of our ability to exercise our faith and trust and ultimately forgive. It said this model demonstrates that the ability to bestow forgiveness on self and others is inextricably linked to the ability to receive it from God. If you are able to understand that you are a person that God not only just loves, God went so far out of his way for you because you are so wonderful to him and precious in his sight that he sent his only begotten son into this world to die for you. He thought you were to die for. And so because he's done this, he shows you the importance. He said, look, in the book of Genesis, that if you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. Sin comes into the world. But he said, watch this. I love you so much. I love you so much that I'm going to give you an opportunity to be redeemed. So here we look into Genesis 3 and 15. We see a snapshot of how Jesus was already on the way. We call Genesis 3:15 the proto-evangelium because it talks about the seed of the woman. It says that he will put enmity between her seed and thy seed, talking about the serpent. I know I'm dealing with a bit of theology here, but women are not known to have a seed. So the seed that God was talking about, he actually was speaking in prophecy of the seed that would be placed inside of the virgin, which was the virgin was Mary. So the seed is ultimately Christ. And so because Christ would come, he would actually be the one that come and like rid us of sin, or at least frees us from the bondage of sin. So Jesus also said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life means having life in God, and having life in God means that you must have faith. And so long as we have faith and recognize who we are and whose we are, then we should ultimately be able to forgive. I hope I painted a picture in a backdrop of what it is, or the context of what we should understand toward forgiveness. Because when we look at forgiveness from a godly perspective, you know, it kind of changes different things than from how we look at it from a human perspective. For instance, some people walk around and they say, "Well, I forgive you, but I don't forget." Well, amen, I understand. You forgive, but you don't forget. So many people walk around. I heard that from so many different people, and I just want to challenge it. I challenge it because in the Bible, it says that he'll throw our sins, you know, he'll forget our sins and throw our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. That's what it is. So when we approach God, we want him to blot out all of our transgressions, because mind you, sin cannot enter heaven. So if you have sin and transgression on you, then you can't enter heaven. So essentially, we need the blood of the Lamb to wash us so that we'll be purified, so that now we can be received by God. So we want him to blot out all of our transgressions. We don't want there to be no more remembrance of anything that we did. You want him to see us cleansed in the blood of Jesus, but you can't even forgive somebody that owe you money. I know you've been cheated on. I know you've been hurt. I know you feel emotionally abused, trampled on. I know you feel like somebody physically beat you. I know you feel like people have stepped on you, scandalized your name. I know that people have done some horrendous things in your life. But I submit to you today that you still must be able to forgive them. You must be able to forgive them because, one, we want God to forgive us, but two, we must be able to forgive because it frees us. It gives us freedom from that spiritual bondage. So God knows that, you know, we struggle with different things. I looked at Jesus when he was talking to his disciples. He told his three I call them the executive membership of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. He told them, look, I want y'all to wait right here. I want you to watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. But he said something that was very key that helps me really understand how God sees us in our imperfection, and also sees us with an opportunity for him to perfect us. He says, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Even though God recognizes us in our infirmities and the weakness of our flesh, it still is not our excuse not to exemplify his principles. What am I simply saying? Don't walk around talking about God knows my heart and let that be the excuse that you have for not actually exemplify forgiveness when God is actually telling you in his word that that's his expectation. Because the more and more you use that as an excuse, yes, he does know your heart. He do know that you didn't try. He do know that you were not walking in his principles. And let me just talk about trying. We can try if we want to and fall short. But the reality is, some of the things that we miss out on the Bible, what it teaches us, you know, it's better to not know the word of God and operate in ignorance than it is for us to know the word of God and then still refuse to execute it. Because we essentially become lukewarm Christians. You flip over to the book of Revelation, the Bible teaches us that God has a low tolerance for those who are lukewarm. So let's, as we talk about forgiveness, let me deal with what lukewarm is. Lukewarm is people that know the word, they know what it says, but won't execute it or choose to do anything that's opposite of it. God says that if you're lukewarm, he said, look, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. You're going to make me sick. Are you making God sick with your lack of forgiveness? Are you walking around making God nauseous, making him want to spew you out because you know what his word says, but you won't execute it? Woe unto us when we know exactly what God expects of us, but we fail or we refuse to do our Christian duty. So God sets this backdrop for forgiveness, for us to be free. Listen to this, same thing, same book, Psychology, Theology, and Spirituality and Christian Counseling. Listen to this excerpt real quick. It says, the sacrificial death of Jesus is the ultimate act of forgiveness, because God actually stepped out of the realms of heaven in order to, like, dwell among us, to endure what he endured and died for us, to show us just how much he wanted us to be redeemed. To just so that he could show you the grand scheme, the grand spiritual scheme of forgiveness. It says he was abused and ridiculed. Finally, his blood was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So I can't imagine giving up my child to die for someone else. But he shows us the grand scheme of forgiveness by showing you the Father made the ultimate sacrifice by sending the Son. The Son came down and died, making the ultimate sacrifice so you would be. So watch this. The Father sends the Son to die so you would be forgiven. The Son goes and dies so that you would be forgiven. The Holy Spirit is sent forth to indwell in each and every one of us upon us receiving him with the confirmation of our forgiveness. So each personage of the Godhead is working in an absolute, if you will, context of forgiveness, just to show us how much he loves us and how much he desires that we be forgiven. So we ought to be able to correspond. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Take on the mindset of God when it comes to forgiveness. How many times shall you forgive people? As many times as it takes. Continually, over and over. Because every time you sin, every time you lie, every time you flaw, every time you fall, God is still just and diligent to forgive you. So we ought to be just and diligent to forgive others. It says, his sacrificial death in substitution for sinful humanity appeased God's wrath against sin and brought peace. He had to die simply so that the wrath of God would be kindled. The word of God would not be in error, but it ultimately would be fulfilled. He said, you shall surely die, but now he made a way of recompense that we shall also freely live so long as we receive Christ. It said, but a Christian view of forgiveness does not stop with Jesus hanging on the cross. The New Testament instructs us to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. See, I think we missed that. That one word is as. Forgive as God has forgiven us. See, we should forgive as God continually forgives us. He continually loves us. He continually pours out his grace, continually pours out his mercy. Danny, I know you listening, my love. As much as like the things that have happened to us in our life hurts, the sting that people have done to us, both in church, out of church, people that said that they love us, we have to be able to forgive and love in spite of that. Because God's love is enduring. God's love is forever, and so is his forgiveness. It endures. It don't stop with Jesus. It instructs us to forgive one another just as God forgives. It's continually. In perpetuity is how his forgiveness and his love operates. In one of several similar passages, the Apostle Paul instructs, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. As God, when you understand the word as there, what are your expectations? How do I forgive as God? Well, you have to forgive as God based on his word teaches us. And basically, you have to know how God forgives if you're going to forgive as God. I'll say that again because somebody's going to miss that. You have to know how God forgives if we are going to forgive as God forgives. Paul's instructions simply imply, Paul's instructions imply a Christian duty to forgive one another, but they also suggest a way of life that exudes forgiveness. That means it's in perpetuity, it's continual, it's, you live it. It's not something that you just say in one moment, but you don't feel it in your spirit. It's not something that you act like, but it's something that you are. It's the very nature and context of being a Christian as far as our duties. We are to be tender, kind, forgiving. Forgiveness is a quality of Christian character, not just an act of the will. It's not just something that I say. It's not a fake it till you make it kind of thing. It's not just something that I try to let others see me doing because it looked good. It looked like I'm doing a Christian thing. But it's something that is something that is really who you are. It's your very nature. It's the expectation of God. It's God's word. It's God's commandment. And in order to fulfill that, it has to be something that becomes who you truly are. Not who you say you are, not who you act like, but who you really are on the inside. It's a life. It's not just something that we say. This subtle distinction between forgiveness as an act of the will and forgiveness as a reflection of character is illustrated in different examples. I'm not going to go through those because we're out of time here, but I hope we said something today to help somebody cope with forgiveness. Listen, we love you, and we pray that you tune in. We're going to have to continue this on next month, so we're going to go into forgiveness and forgiving. The process of forgiving. We're going to do part 3 and part 4. Don't have to worry about asking us a title. We're doing part 3 and part 4 next month. Listen, until next time we talk to you, thanks for joining us with another Theologically We Speaking with Jose and Danielle Dorsey. We love you and God bless you.
So you clean.